Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple, John. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can go through to the next stage, where it'll be the first triple-locked movie script, guaranteeing that anyone over the age of 50 can enjoy it in around 15 years' time. I'm Joel, a man who puts the, ugh, isn't this podcast a laugh? And across from me is John Harris, a man who I would still truly love, even if he was a worm.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the internet.
I think my partner asked me that question a long time ago, so it's definitely been in the ether, but the last week it's really blown up as a question.
Yeah, the worms are back strong. I wonder why.
Who knows? Worms haven't been this big since Worms Modern Warfare on the PlayStation 1.
Earthworm Jim, another celebrity worm.
Celebrity worms. Welcome to our new podcast. Oh, dear.
Hey, John.
Yes.
We're not here to talk about worms unless someone sent in, by coincidence, a brilliant worm-themed film idea.
I dare you.
We don't... There's no way... Yeah, I'd love someone to. So let's pitch some film ideas. How about this one from Josh? Friend of the show. A guy descends into madness after writing into a podcast giving movie ideas an absurd amount of time in the hope that he'll eventually be referred to as a friend of the show. And that comes in from Josh, who... I think it's his first suggestion, actually, so good to hear from him.
Listener Josh.
There is something fun in someone becoming completely obsessed and their email never being read out. Don't you think? It's kind of like the song Stan.
Yeah. And then maybe they start a conspiracy theory that it's all made up. The show doesn't actually read any contributions from listeners because they've done so many and they've never got through.
Yes. That's good.
And their conspiracy theory podcast about this becomes bigger than the podcast itself. With listeners, you could do that with upwards of 200 listeners. I mean, actually less than 200, maybe 12, 13 listeners, and you'll be punching well above the Dream Factory. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say it. Josh is absolutely a friend of the show. Martin is a friend of the show. Beck is a friend of the show. Tony is a Stu. Friend of the show. Josh is a friend of the show. Stu is a friend of the show. Marius is a friend of the show. Joanne's a friend of the show. You're all friends of the show. Hopefully, I'm really worried I've forgotten a regular.
If you've forgotten someone, that's why. I'm really stressing.
I'm so sorry if you are had not been.
If you're a friend of the show, let us know.
Yeah.
The twist in this film, friend of the show, is that it turns out they've just been reading all his emails out on their Patreon. No, I do like the obsessive fan idea. Do you think fans are more obsessive now than they were because of the access, like direct access to people? Or
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's that word. What is it? I'm gonna find it because I know it's gonna drive me mad. Apologies for wasting time here. That
we you know when you're tracking Kwasi Kwarteng's flight across the Atlantic, that's when fandom's gone too far. I think
it's parasocial is the word I'm looking for, which is where you sort of feel like friends. now I feel like we're sort of making some sort of comment on the wonderful people like Josh and stuff. The weird thing where you sort of feel like friends with the podcast, even though you're objectively not. No, but hey.
I would say to Josh, I don't even feel like friends with the podcast and I am on it.
Yeah. The Dream Factory has acquaintances at best.
No, it's a job.
Oh, that's sad.
No, I'm messing.
It requires payment to be a job, I believe.
Shit. Yeah, not, I don't know, some of the early jobs I had in this industry. Yeah, so you write into... Now, would you become obsessed with the idea that there isn't any correspondence, or would you be sent mad trying to come up with the perfect piece of correspondence? Like, he starts hiring, like, ex-SNL writers to get an email so good.
He becomes bankrupt.
That it gets read out.
And then he does, and then we do a little Shining bit where he's, like, bankrupt and he's just using a typewriter, writing all work and no play makes Josh a dull boy.
Or it's just gone into the podcast guy's spam folder and he's gone completely insane trying to put together the perfect email.
You know what?
And after he like goes on a murderous spree, that's when it's like in Stan when you finally click the spam folder and you see all these suggestions, and that's when we read them out on the next episode. But it's too late.
Let me check my spam. Let me check the show spam. There's quite a few.
Has that penis extension doctor got back in touch? Because a friend of a friend wanted that email contact.
Joel, you joke, but I actually intended to read this to you today because it's incredible and quite offensive. So listeners, strap in.
John's good at doing this. He pretends it's a spam email so he can get some of his opinions out. It's really clever.
Right, here we go. This is genuinely an email that we got. I'm showing it to the camera. You can see a Dream Factory pod at the top there, yeah?
Yep. Yeah. Oh my God.
This guy offered his wife to the tribesmen as a gift in exchange for their secret manhood elongation ritual. And this bit's in red text. And it worked! Oh my God, you have to see this before this crazy dude takes off his documentary. They've been known for quite some time. Do you know what? It goes on for ages. And then at the end, obviously, there's a big thing that says, that's why you have to see this. And you click on...
Yeah, could you forward that on to me? I'd like to report it. Yes, I really don't want to be getting things like that. So if you just forward that on to, if you could forward it on to my work and personal, just so I don't miss it, that'd be really good. Actually, it definitely works.
You're something of a journalist. You just want to check out this tribe.
I'm a journalist, and if there's a documentary being made, I want to help get it out there to the world. So happy to help. Happy to lend my journalistic credentials to any budding documentary makers out there, regardless of content.
You're a neutral party in this.
If it's an interesting story, it's an interesting story, John.
Exactly. What about this one from Beck, friend of the show? Buddies, buddies, buddies. A group of 20-year-olds are stranded in a remote mansion during a hurricane and all become super close best friends and no one gets murdered.
Oh.
And they all drink Budweiser and Air Bud is there.
It's like, it could also be called Lord of the Fly Guys.
Lord of the Fly Guys. Are they just really cool?
Forget I said that. That might come up next week. Yeah.
Buddies, buddies, buddies. I love it.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's sweet. Like a buddy movie. Are you kind of duped into thinking it's going to be horrific?
Yeah, that's what I think. Like every sort of but three like or they, 4 minutes, there's a really tense moment. Yeah. Someone opens a door and there's just a cake behind it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they crash land. They think they're going to have to eat each other. Turns out all of the airplane food survived, and actually someone was transporting vast quantities of canned food as well in the hold.
Well,
have I told my shortbread story?
I mean, it doesn't ring a bell, Joel, and you'd think shortbread story would immediately ring a bell.
I went on holiday once to Taiwan, and after a very, very long flight, we went to the luggage claim. You know, you're all stood around the conveyor belt. It's a tense moment that, because you convince yourself that the bag's never going to appear, right?
Yeah.
We all do that. It always feels like your bag's last. And so you get into the baggage claim and you've been traveling at this point for like 20 hours or something. And you just want to get the bag and get to a hotel and have a shower. Everyone stood around waiting. And this family pushed to the front with four trolleys for luggage. Maybe more, actually. They've got two trolleys each. And for about 30 minutes to 35 minutes, the only thing that comes off the baggage carousel is like industrial-sized boxes of Scottish shortbread.
What?
Everyone has stood around, knackered, stinking, sweating, been traveling for so long, feel so gross. And we're just watching this family just take off box after box after box of shortbread. I felt like I was going fucking mad. It was it was really funny the first couple of boxes. It was really annoying sort of box 4 through to like box 30. Then it became the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Every time another shortbread box came off the thing and nothing else was appearing, I just found it uncontrollably funny. Forgot like where I was, that I was even waiting for a bag. I felt like I was like in the fucking Tate watching this mad art installation. Yeah, interesting, right? They obviously, here's a question. Had they been to Scotland, tried shortbread and thought,
this is it.
Fucking hell, the guys back in Taipei are going to go nutso for this. And then they've decided to like throw out their current lives, work lives. They're like, we're going to dedicate our lives to bringing shortbread to Taiwan. Or had they gone to Scotland?
Especially.
Expressly going to buy the shortbread. But it would, you can't consume that amount of shortbread. I've tried before it goes off.
I don't think
it's for resale, but then
I don't know, the shelf life's particularly long on a short.
John, I can't tell you how much shortbread there was.
Okay, fine. Is it the sort of classic stuff you'd expect, like with the tartan packaging, or was it?
Yeah. Taiwan shortbread for sale. Let's have a look.
They're probably
Let's
still selling
have a
it.
Look. I reckon they probably are. You know, buy Walker's shortbread products online in Taiwan. Maybe it's these guys. It's these fucking guys. But it's these guys.
Oh yeah, Walkers. That's the classic stuff, isn't it? Walkers.
Yeah.
So, and also, for the record, look, I'm not a proficient baker, but I believe shortbread's not particularly complicated. If you're really desperate to have shortbread, you don't need to travel across the world.
No. Well, they're charging sort of £30 for a box.
That seems pretty.
So fair play.
I mean, that's
fair play. I mean, yeah, we're the mugs here, aren't we? That's exactly what we should be doing.
If you were on the other side of the world, is there something that you would lose your mind?
Oh, pay over the odds for?
Yeah, to make sure that you had.
That's such a good question.
Like a British staple.
This is a real basic answer, but isn't the answer like mature cheddar cheese?
Yeah,
isn't it? Because it's rubbish in America. It's rubbish in America. I don't know. Like, there's obviously amazing cheeses all over the world, but I don't know if anyone else is knocking out, you know, an extra mature cathedral city for a couple of quid. So that might, that's really basic, but that might be my answer.
Look, I rate it.
What about you?
As a sort of semi-French man, it sort of goes against my principles to say cheddar is a great cheese. But look, guys, it just does the
job. It's so versatile, John. You can put it with anything.
100%. Going back to Buddies, 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 it's sort of, our version of Buddies, Buddies, Buddies sort of has like a Tucker and Dale versus Evil vibe to it, where it's like, because Tucker and Dale is like these two, for want of a better term, hillbilly types just accidentally sort of just through like happenstance sort of become the villains in a slasher movie, but they don't intend to kill anyone. So it's like a comedy where you're basically subverting expectations. I think we're sort of subverting horror expectations. It's high art. It's subversion of horror tropes.
I like it.
I'm surprised no one's done it yet. Do you think we could get it to the point where the tension before the reveal that something isn't happening is so high it would elicit a sort of like a proper horror reaction, just a relief? Do you see what I mean?
I think so. I'm sure someone pitched us Normal Activity once.
Yeah.
Which feels like it's in the same wheelhouse.
True.
I'm quite into horror films for wimps where they remove all the horror, but the premise somehow remains the same.
We should do it like a film festival of horror movies where scary things don't happen.
Yeah. Are they new films or have we recut them? You and I have gone through every horror film and recut them into rom-coms.
It's sort of like that trailer for Mrs. Doubtfire that was cut like a horror film, but we're doing the reverse. We're cutting horror films so they're nice.
I would love that. Or like when you hear about films that get redacted for certain airlines, you know, if they're too sexy or graphic or whatever.
Melon Farmers being one of the famous motherfucker replacements for TV.
Whoa.
Right?
So, really sorry about that, listeners.
Is it Die Hard? What does he say? Die Hard.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Lovely stuff. What about this one from Tony? Volkswagen Beetlejuice. Herbie is possessed by Michael Keaton's Beetlejuice in a Cars-style crossover.
Brilliant. That's just really good. I don't know what to say to it. It's like a scary Herbie.
Yeah, Freaky Cars, great.
I watched Beetlejuice young and didn't like it. Freaked me out.
Well, he does a job, right? Beetlejuice does a job. Like he's like an undead lawyer or something, or undead.
I can't remember what it is. That would make sense. So that's why he pops up. And is he one of the guys where you say the name three times?
I'm 99% sure that is true. Oh, if your house is haunted, he clears them out for you.
So you want to summon him?
Yeah, I guess so. But is it not like one of those things where, like,
if you it's like a genie wish, there's a twist. you know?
Yeah. He's like when that lady invited that Grinch actor to her house and the Grinch actor just trashed everything.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, but in this one, it's a car. So if your garage is haunted, I guess you summon a scary car.
Have they done... Hey, look, a part of our film festival of horror films that aren't scary, have they done a haunted car in anything?
I don't think so.
Come on, guys.
I don't know how scary a car is. Isn't it like, it's not that big a threat because you just go upstairs. Or, you know, it's like the old Dalek problem, right?
I guess.
I don't know if a haunted car... Although, I reckon, hey, there will be a Blumhouse film in 3 years' time that's about like a self-driving car that goes crazy.
Or an episode of Black Mirror, if he's still doing that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It'll be a really scary Tesla. It'll lock the doors and it'll start talking to you and its voice, you know, it'll be like, how? And eventually it'll go mad and drive you into a school or something.
And it'll say some really controversial opinions on Twitter, am I right?
And at the end, you'll get done for it because, yeah, the very powerful CEO will prove conclusively that the cars can't do that. And that'd be sad.
Oh, Gaslight. Very good.
Yeah.
Love it. Do you know Gaslight comes from a movie, I believe? Well, I've seen the movie Gaslight from like the 30s. It's Angela Lansbury's first performance, I believe, in a movie.
Yeah, I think is a play or a book. I don't know.
Wait, that is based on a play or a book?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Angela Lansbury's first role was in a book. That'd be really weird. And a woman called Angela Lansbury walked in. The end. And the nominees are... Angela Lansbury in that book.
I did see a good tweet the other day after Angela Lansbury had passed away, someone talking about the fact that she had got an Oscar nomination for her performance in Gaslight, and someone commented saying, it's weird that she got a nomination for a film that clearly was never made.
Excellent.
There we go. Lovely bit of business.
What about this one from Stu, which weirdly is related to the earlier chat we were having? I didn't even look ahead. Stan's Labyrinth. A combination of the music video for Stan, a Saw film, and a Del Toro horror fantasy. Stan is sick of Eminem not replying to his messages, so places him in a maze full of horrible traps and creatures. His tea's gone cold and he's wondering why. That is good. So yeah. Like, it goes beyond. So in Stan, instead of driving his car into a reservoir, he kidnaps Eminem and he wakes up in a Saw-based, Saw-style maze. That's great. Hey. That's like, is it Misery?
Misery.
Where she kidnaps the author? Is that right?
Joel, it could very well be right.
We don't know about horror.
Exactly. We're not the right...
There's a film. It's a Stephen King thing. I'm sure there is. She kidnaps an author and tortures him.
It sounds about right, and it's probably some meta comment from Stephen King about his fandom, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the subject of two guys not knowing anything about horror, I have a request, listener. Next week, it's the Halloween Spooktacular.
Oh, it's going to be so spooky. I'm going to be so spooked out, John.
So we need horror film-based ideas for next
Don't
week.
Send in anything too scary.
No. And Joel and I...
Because I want to get some sleep.
Scary.
I want to get... Me and John will record that in the middle of the day. Lights will be on. We'll have a half an hour chat before and afterwards just to make sure we're okay. There'll be soothing whale music. It's going to be all right. It's a safe space for two scared boys.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, John, should we do our own film ideas?
I think so. I think, okay. Yeah, go on.
Can I have your own film idea, please?
Sure. The Boys' Zone. As a result of a delivery mix-up at the Brits in 1995, all pop stars are irradiated, causing them to gain musical superpowers. When Take That begin to use their powers for evil, it's up to Boyzone to kill all super pop stars.
That's fucking great. That's so good. Boyzone, here's the twist. Boyzone weren't at the Brits, so they haven't got the superpowers.
Like the boys, very good.
But they're so talented, in a way they already were, musical
exactly.
Superpower. That's good. I can see that.
Thank you. Oh yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
You should be really happy, John. Well done.
Cheers, mate.
What? How would a musical superpower present itself? What can they do? Can they like that guy who uses his voice to kill people? That superhero.
So I think there's definitely at least a couple of them, and then like drummers have got like Hulk-sized arms, and they can sort of.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's good.
You know, basically, yeah. I think it has to sort of. The superpower has to sort of reflect their sort of style of music in some sort of way. Yeah, most the problem is, I think that's the thing. The reason I don't think it's going to get over the line with Hollywood is I think a lot of it's just going to be like, yeah, that one sings and people's heads explode.
I think a real reason it might not get over the line with Hollywood, John, is that the lead role goes to Ronan Keating.
Oh, come on.
Hey, so here's the film. It's 90 minutes of Ronan Keating fucking people up. Actually, that sounds great. Beating. Ronan exactly. The Barbarian. I'm writing all these down for future episodes. Hey, John, would you like my idea from me?
Please, please give me your idea.
It's Ratatouille. Ooh-wee. It turns out there's been a rat controlling Mark Ronson this whole time.
Well, hey, I don't mind it at all.
Good. I'm really pleased with it.
Ratatouille. Yeah. I know. Rate it. Yeah, I think...
A rat has become one of those...
I think Joel and I have actually come up with good ideas for once.
Yeah, we've raised the bar a little bit, actually. It's only taken 5 years, but we've done a good job.
We've raised the bar to the level of what the listeners provide anyway.
Yeah, or just below that, maybe. we've got to stay humble. A rat is the greatest super producer on the planet, is what happens.
Have you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yes.
Amazing. I won't even say it. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. If you haven't, watch that film.
It's so brilliant.
But that bit had me in absolute pieces.
So good.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. I think we're all listeners. I think we're all winners this week.
I think everyone won.
Pit us against each other.
No, we're all friends. We're all friends of the show. So, you know, well done, everyone.
That's when good neighbours of the show become good friends.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, let's wrap up because there's a couple of obsessive fans that have been beating on my door for a while now, and I need to make a quick getaway out the window. Hey, well done, John.
Thank you very much.
I thought you did some really good podcasting there.
Thank you. Joel, before the episode began recording, we were making some small talk, very little small talk, listener. Please know that we hardly ever speak unless it's being recorded. But you did make a note to yourself to ask me a question about time that you'd just come up with.
Yeah, so John did a fun parody on the song, It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday. But he did it for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we were saying that's the most hideous imaginable version of that song. And I wanted to ask you the question, John. What is the best and worst single hour of the week?
Oh. So is this objectively across everyone? This isn't for me personally. It's not like, what's John's favourite hour?
I imagine that they probably line up, right? For most people. I reckon Sunday 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. is right up there. I know you're already snoozing at that point. But for me, like the dreads take hold, right? At some point on a Sunday evening. There's a point in Sunday where everything turns.
So I vividly remember as like a child, more specifically, it would be around Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah. God. I feel sick. I spent my entire childhood pretending I liked cars so that I could watch Top Gear instead of go to bed.
Oh, nice.
But why was I doing that? I didn't... the objective when you're a kid is stay up. What you're doing, stay up.
No, Dad, I love watching paint dry, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. couldn't stand cars, never had any interest in cars, and then would like get the fucking Top Gear annual because Joel's always out watching Top Gear on a Sunday. But no, I didn't want to go to bed.
So yeah. I would say Sunday evening. I think when you're younger, it's earlier. And then you're right, probably as an adult, it's about that time. It's probably objectively the worst hour of the week. And then the best. Well, the best has got to be
Friday, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, Friday,
yeah,
5 o'clock.
Yeah, you can't beat that Friday feeling, John.
It's just impossible.
But there is something about waking up on a Saturday at like 7 or 8 a.m. and thinking, oh boy, there's a couple of days of this ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree. My personal favourite time, ever since I've had a kid, and I feel like this is really bleak and I shouldn't say this. My favourite time is the 10 minutes between me going to bed and falling asleep.
Oh, lovely 10 minutes all to myself. What will I do?
It's honestly, I put on a podcast that I know I'm not going to finish.
Yep.
And I just, oh.
Just
bliss.
Sit there and, oh, 10 minutes. Yes, Sophie, I would still love you for a worm. You can't ask me that now. I've only got 9 minutes, 30 seconds left of me time.
I do love my child and my partner, I promise.
But you also love record, your 10 minutes, Honor. And that's allowed.
Thank you. Thank that you very much.
That is allowed.
I just want, I've had made a note to myself that we often talk about this phenomena of that most sort of uniquely for us, or like importantly for us in our childhood, was when Ants and Bug's Life came out roughly the same time. And we were recently, I think probably a couple months ago now, we were talking about like, oh, you know, what are more modern examples? We're living in one right now, Joel. There is four different versions of Pinocchio that are sort of percolating right now. So we've got the Del Toro version.
I can't believe it's real. It just seems wrong.
So we've got a video apparently. There's a video game coming out early next year. There's the Del Toro stop motion. There's the Tom Hanks Disney Plus one that I believe, last time I checked, nobody has watched. So your theory that it doesn't exist sort of
It's starting works. To stack up. And there's obviously my one-man show that's touring next year as well.
Even better, there's one with Paulie Shore. Have you heard it?
No.
Oh, do yourself a favor. Google the Paulie Shore Pinocchio.
It is bizarre.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I feel like we sort of did the one no, of the most important examples.
It's not a copyright thing, right? Pinocchio is a story as old as time.
Yeah, no, it's not like the Winnie the Pooh thing where it's suddenly out of copyright.
It's just everyone's decided Pinocchio needed a revamp.
It's all about big man Pinocchio.
It'll never be as big as Ants Bug Life, A Bug's Life. Nothing come close to that rivalry.
It was
like
crazy.
Blur and Oasis. It was crazy, man. You had to pick a side in the playground or else you were dead. And then you couldn't go near the other gang.
I couldn't walk on a certain side of the road. I was a Bugs Life boy.
You were team Bugs Life. You had to walk into school and beat up the hardest Ants fan straight away. It was crazy out there, man. It was crazy. Crazy.
Oh, that's good. Romeo and Juliet between Ants and Bugs
that
Life
is
fans.
Really good. Two fans fall in love. That's really good. Well, if you stuck around to the very end of the show, you just heard the best idea of the show. So congratulations. Hey, well done, John. Let's do another one next week.
Thank you very much for an idea. Great idea.
Now you go and enjoy your 10 minutes.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.